After the Cushite spoke, David understood Avshalom had been killed, and the king was upset. The word is vayirgaz. He was furious. And he went up to the upper story of the gate, the location of the city guards, and he wept. And this is what he said as he wept. V'cho amar belechto, b'ni Avshalom, b'ni b'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom, my son Avshalom, mi yitein musi ani tachtecha, if only I died in your stead, Avshalom b'ni b'ni, Avshalom, my son, he would have sacrificed his own life for him. It was reported to Yoav, remember, the general who takes things in his own hand, behold, the king is weeping and mourns after Avshalom. The word spread, and despite the victory, the salvation of that day became mourning for all the people. As the people heard that day saying, the king is not happy about the triumph, rather he's grieving over his son. The people, David's soldiers, stole into the city that day as people who had been humiliated steal away in their flight in war. In other words, they walked in shame rather than in triumph. The king covered his face with his garment, and the king cried out in a loud voice, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni, my son Avshalom. Yoav is not impressed. Yoav came to the king's house and he said, today with your behavior, you have shamed the face of your servants who rescued your life today and the lives of your sons and your daughters, the lives of your wives, the lives of your concubines. Le'avad sonecha v'lisnor to'avecha. By loving those who hate you and hating those who love you, you have declared today that you do not have princes and servants, because what you're showing is they're not important. The fact that all these people sacrificed and were harmed for you, but you're acting today, I know that were Avshalom alive and all of us dead today, it would have been preferable in your eyes. That's the way you're acting. As if you'd prefer Avshalom alive and all of us dead. Now rise, emerge, and speak to the heart of your servants, Yoav says. Ki b'Hashem nishbati. For by my Lord, I have taken the oath that if you do not merge, no man will spend the night with you. No one will stay with you because you're ignoring your loyal soldiers. That will be worse for you than all the evil that's come to you from your youth until now. Because this time, you'll be truly alone. Now, although Yoav, as you can see, is no fool and he's tough, he was right. Because it was wrong for David to attach greater importance to his son who had rebelled against him and humiliated him than to the people who had been willing to risk their lives. Therefore, although his heart was bitter, Vayakam HaMelech, he gets up and he sits in the gate. They told all the people saying, behold, the king is sitting at the gate again. He's ready to greet you. And all the people came before the king. And in the meantime, all the people of Israel who participated in Avshalom's rebellion fled each to his tent. Vayihi, sometime later, the people started deliberating. People started getting back to their senses in all the tribes of Israel. And they said, one second here. HaMelech hitzilanu mikaf oyveinu. The king had saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of Philistines. Now he fled from the land away from Avshalom. In other words, we joined a rebellion that was wrong. Furthermore, Avshalom, who we anointed over us, has died in war. So David is not king. So why are we silent with regards to restoring our king? We must clearly show the joy. David was aware of this discussion. King David sent to Tzadok and Aviatar, the priests, his loyalists, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why will you be the last to restore the king to his house? In other words, Yehuda, you're my family, the tribe. If you hesitate, the other tribes will precede you in renewing the king's role. The word of all Israel had come to the king to his house, and he was aware what was being said, and therefore he knew it might cause tension between the tribe of Yehuda and the other tribes of Israel, which unfortunately was not a healthy relationship, as we'll see in the next book, the Book of Kings, how complicated that relationship was. David continued conveying a personal message to the tribe of Yehuda. He said, you are my brethren, members of my tribe, you are my bone and my flesh, and I am your natural king. Why should you be the last to restore me? Say to Amasa, Amasa was the commander of Avshalom's army, and a relative, aren't you my bone and my flesh? You're my nephew. So shall God do to me, and so shall he continue, if you will not. In other words, I swear that you will be commander of the army before me all the days in place of Yoav. Wow, he tells Amasa he could take the place of Yoav, Because David was angry with Yoav for disobeying his warning not to harm Avshalom. Maybe he was also offended by Yoav's harsh words to him. And maybe he felt that Yoav was getting way too powerful in the kingdom. Amasa swayed the heart of each man of Yehuda as one man. In other words, when he heard this thing, he right away pushed everybody towards David. They went to the king and they said, "Return, you and all your servants." In other words, come back to Jerusalem. The king returned from Machanaim, east of the Jordan River, came to the Jordan. The tribe of Yehuda came to Gilgal to go meet the king, to cross the king over the Jordan. They wanted to do it formally. Shimi, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, who had cursed David on his way to exile, hastened and came down with the men of Yehuda to meet David. He realized unless he shows up nicely, he's doomed. 1,000 men of Binyamin, remember, these were all loyalists to King Shaul, as was Shimi ben Gera, were with him. He obviously was an important fellow, so he gathers a lot of people with him. And Siva, the servant of the house of Shaul, also came, and his 15 sons and 20 servants with him. They forded the Jordan before the king, in other words, to escort him. The message was circulated, the message that the tribes of Israel decided to reinstate David HaMelech, and therefore they arranged to bring the king's household across. In other words, they decided to bring everybody and to do that which was good in the king's eyes. Shimri ben Gera fell before the king, bowing in submission as he crossed the Jordan. He said to the king, "Al yachshav li adoni avon, let my lord not ascribe a sin to me, and do not remember the sin committed by your servant on the day that my lord the king came out from Jerusalem, for the king to take this to heart. For your servant knows that I sinned, and behold, I have come today first of all the house of Joseph," referring to the tribes of Israel. He wasn't actually from Joseph, he was from Benjamin, but Joseph was the kind of the lead tribe of everyone else besides Judah, "to come down to meet my lord the king today." Vayan Avishai ben Tsruya. Avishai, the other nephew of David, answers and says, "Should Shimi not be put to death because of this flattery? For after all, he cursed the anointed of the Lord. Kilel et Mashiach Hashem." David says, again, similar words than he said to Yoav in the past. Yoav was a brother of Avishai. He says, "What is there between me and you, sons of Tsruya, my nephews, that you should be an adversary, an agent of censure and discord to me today? You're giving a negative attitude. Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For truly I know today that I am king over Israel." In other words, I'm confident in my rule. I was being reinstated. Now is not the time for vengeance. Then the king said to Shimi, "You will not die." And the king took an oath that he will not die. Meanwhile, Mephibosheth, remember that disabled son of Shaul, Shaul's grandson, came down to meet the king. If you remember, following the kindness performed by David to him, returning all of his property to him and inviting him to sit at the table, he then left. Now he comes to lament David's flight. He had not treated his feet, had not trimmed his mustache, and had not laundered his garments from the day of the king's departure until the day he came to peace. He acted like a mourner all this day. It was when he, Mephibosheth, came to Yerushalayim to meet the king, and the king said to him, "Why didn't you go to me? Go with me, Mephibosheth." Because previously Tziva, which was Mephibosheth's servant, had told David that not only was Mephibosheth not distressed, but he even had an aspiration towards loyalty during the rebellion. He said, "My lord, king, my servant Tziva deceived me. For your servant," meaning me, "I said, I will saddle myself a donkey, ride upon it, and go with the king. For your servant is crippled. I cannot go easily like most. But Tziva did not help me, but rather went by himself. Furthermore, Tziva slandered your servant to my lord the king, telling lies about me. My lord the king is as an angel of God. Do that which is good for your eyes. For my father's entire house was nothing but deserving of death to my lord the king. My father persecuted you during Shaul's reign, and you should have taken revenge against us. But instead you placed us amongst the people who eat at your table. What further right do I have to cry out anymore to the king? I have no right to make any demands." The king said to him, "Why do you speak any more of your matters? I say, I order that you and Siva shall divide the property. Previously, he promised Siva Mephibosheth's entire estate. Now he ordered that Mephibosheth should keep half. Mephibosheth said to the king, even let him take it all, since my lord the king has come in peace to his house. I'm so happy you came back. Now Barzillai Hagiladi, one of the king's supporters and benefactors in exile, came down from his hometown of Regalim, east of the Jordan. He crossed the Jordan with the king, getting there before him, to send and escort the king across the Jordan. And he parts from David like a host. Barzillai was very elderly, 80 years old, and he had supported the king during his stay in Machanaim, as he was a very wealthy man and respected. The king said to Barzillai, cross you with me, let us continue together, and I will support you in Jerusalem. You will eat by my table. Barzillai says to the king, how many are the days of the years of my life that I should go with the king to Jerusalem? I'm too old. I am 80 years old today. Do I distinguish between good and evil? My mind is not what it used to be. My strength is no longer with me. Does your servant taste that which would I eat or which would I drink? I don't have any flavor. Do I hear any more the voice of songsters and songstresses who sing beautifully? I'm an old man. I can't hear anything. Why should your servant be a burden to my lord the king any longer? Your servant will recross the Jordan back and continue with the king just a bit, a short distance. Why should the king reward me with this reward? Thank you for the offer, but it doesn't suit me. Please let your servant stay, and I will die in my city near the grave of my father and mother. Behold, your servant Kinham, my son, will cross with my lord the king. Do with him that which is good in your eyes. In other words, if you want to repay, repay my son. The king said, using the same expression, Kinham will come with me, Kimham, and I will do with him that which is good in your eyes, and anything that you shall choose for me, I will do for you. All the people crossed the Jordan, and the king crossed too. The king kissed Barzillai as they parted, expressing his love and respect for him, blessed him, and he returned to his place. This is not the end of the rebellion. The king crossed to Gilgal, and Kinham crossed with him, and all the people of Yehuda brought the king across, and also a part of the people of Israel. Behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why did our brethren, the men of Yehuda, abduct you, treating you as though you were their private property, and bring the king and his household across the Jordan and all of King David's men? In other words, what they're saying is, you called the tribe of Yehuda to come, but what about us? All the men of Yehuda, instead of the king, answered and said, because the king is related to me, he's my tribe. Why are you incensed over this matter? Did we eat from the king? We haven't accepted anything from him. Did he marry us? In other words, we didn't get any preferential treatment. The men of Israel answered the men of Yehuda and said, I have 10 parts in the king, even in David. I am more than you. You're a single tribe. We're 10 tribes. You did not prove you're closer to the king during the rebellion. Why did you slight us, the Jewish people? Wasn't it my word that was first to restore the king? We took initiative in restoring the king. Why are you depriving us from our rights? The words of the men of Yehuda were harsher than the words of the men of Israel. In other words, they responded very harshly. And as you'll see, it doesn't end well.